Stateside.
I'm Cynthia Canty. He was the last of an era, the only person to lead two of Detroit's big three. And if you've owned a Mustang or a minivan, you can credit him. Lee Iacocca died Tuesday of complications from Parkinson's disease. He was 94. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House, just how big a shadow did Lee Iacocca cast, not only across the U.S. auto industry, but indeed the world auto industry?
Well, I think huge, frankly. I think he's the last of the supreme automotive leaders, you know, the all-knowing, all-seeing, powerful CEO. We have now a model that's more coach, more global, more diverse, all those kinds of buzzwords. And it's all true. But he came from a different era. He came up in the post-war era when the United States economic prosperity was pretty much unparalleled. And the auto industry based in Detroit reached its zenith, frankly, in the 1960s. That's when he and a small team conceived the Mustang in 1964, blew the doors off. And today it is the only mark, the only brand that Ford cars are selling, this being sold as a Ford cars.
Yeah.
Everything else is trucks and SUVs, but the Mustang lives. You mentioned the minivan at the top. The minivan lives. The last year, as he retired from Chrysler in 1992, they launched the Jeep Grand Cherokee, which is the cornerstone of Jeep, the brand that continues to grow around the world and in the United States. And they got it when Iacocca acquired American Motors in 1987, much to the consternation of a lot of people, said, why are you doing this? And now you look at what they have now in Jeep, that is the cornerstone of the company going forward.
He was quite the visionary. For those who are maybe perhaps not quite of our vintage, mm-hmm. Kind of briefly walk us through kind of his career first at Ford, why he left after Henry Ford II fired him, and then headed across town at Chrysler. Give us kind of the big picture.
Well, real quick, he grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He went to Lehigh University in nearby Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, came very gritty steel country, got a degree in engineering, did a brief some brief studies at Princeton, but got into the Ford management program in engineering, quickly kind of thought that that was not his thing, as I understand it, moved over to sales and marketing, and that was really his path to the top, came up with some really innovative ideas, including what they called 56 and 56, 56 for a $20 rather down payment. You'd pay $56 a month, and then you would own a new Ford. It really turned his region around and became a model that the company used around the country. Came to Dearborn, worked his way up through the company, and as you said, became president under Hank, the famous Hank the Deuce, who after about, I think, 7 or 8 years, fired him. When Iacocca asked him why, he said, sometimes you just don't like somebody. and then Henry Ford, in his inimitable style, who often said, never explain and never complain, declined to ever explain anymore about why he did what he did. He did what he did because he could and because his name was on the building. Very quickly, Iacocca is recruited by John Ricardo over at Chrysler to come be the CEO there. And he lands at Chrysler, and very quickly Chrysler, he finds, is in facing an existential crisis. And it's at that point, to stave off bankruptcy, that he goes to Washington and is able to persuade the politicians and later the American people to back the idea of federal loan guarantees, which is not a bankruptcy and was not a bailout. They were loan guarantees. President Carter signed them. They went ahead with them, and Chrysler, fast forward, pays them back ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
I don't even think used them all, frankly. And there his ticket was punched as one of the great turnaround guys of the modern era.
And then, of course, he became the face long before there was somebody like a Steve Jobs, where you associated him with the company. He was Chrysler. Let's listen to one of Lee Iacocca's many commercials for Chrysler.
Nobody has anything like them, not Ford, not GM, not the imports. I challenge you to compare their quality and technology to anything that comes out of Germany or Japan. No cars are perfect, but these come pretty close. Drive them. See for yourself how quiet and smooth they are. If you don't agree they're the best Chrysler's ever made, the very best America has to offer at a sensible price, then I'm in the wrong business. Oh, one more thing. If you can find a better car, buy it.
That famous, famous tagline. What worked so
Unfortunately,
well?
Unfortunately, they probably could at the time. But, But you got to give him points for moxie. Listen, it was defining for people of certainly of a certain generation to hear that. It was very unusual for a CEO of a car company, even as today. I mean, you don't see Mary Barra or Al Mulally or Jim Hackett or Sergio Marchionne or Mike Manley hawking their metal, not in television ads. But this was a very unique situation, and he was persuaded to do it and then build it into an even bigger persona. So you become – it's not – I suppose it's some roughly analogous to President Trump, you know, who had a television career, and that's how he became really well-known to a lot of people. Same thing for Iacocca. He was on these TV commercials and became really well-known, right? So best-selling memoir. I think wrote another one later on. And eventually becomes is considering running for president after President Ronald Reagan. And as I understand it, at least some of the people around him kind of convinced him that wasn't a good idea because they realized that the president of the United States have a harder time getting things done than a CEO of a Detroit auto company.
There you go.
And a guy like Iacocca expects things to get done.
You know, it's worth noting when Iacocca retired from Chrysler, mm-hmm. his successor was Bob Eaton, who made history by...
He made history by doing the Daimler Chrysler deal. Yeah. And the interesting note there is that in 1995, 3 years after Iacocca had retired, Eaton is running the company. Iacocca hooks up with Kirk Kerkorian, the billionaire casino mogul from Las Vegas. And they mount a hostile takeover of Chrysler. And all of a sudden, it was like, what the heck? You know, what is Lee Iacocca doing coming after the company? So he became persona non grata for a time in Auburn Hills. But that kind of began the process that a few years later, in 1997, led to the Daimler-Chrysler so-called merger of equals, one of the great lies of the last 30 years. Yeah. It was not a merger of equals by any stretch of the imagination, as I experienced covering it in Germany for the first 4 years of its existence.
Well, as you say in your piece in the news today, this really does mark the end of an era in terms of the auto industry.
Certainly does.
And as people get ready, we should note, for next month's Woodward Dream Cruise, you can certainly tip your hat and thank Lee Iacocca for every Mustang you see drive by on Woodward. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Daniel, thanks so much.
You bet.